Hope you guys are doing okay today. I really do. My heart goes out to those who are repairing their lives after these tornadoes. Whew. Yep. I in fact do sympathize with you guys. Putting your life back together after such a disaster is not easy, and what's worse is that it's only beginning. Right? These same storms, the same ones, are stuck in a track which will slowly migrate towards the east. Everybody on the East Coast, get yourselves ready. You have about a good 4 to 5 days to get everything ready for water. Make sure you guys are ready for water. Make sure, you know, make sure. Right? These are days where we apply all of what we see, all of what we take in, and we apply that to our own preparations. We don't have heart attacks behind it, right? We don't stop our lives behind it, but we do, in fact, prepare for it. Prepare. Our Father still in command of all things, but it's a very good time to prepare. Very good time to prepare. Somebody says, is West Virginia included? Yes, for flooding. West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North and South Carolina. This weekend is going to be a challenge. That will go all the way into Monday. Now, the only thing that can free us up from that would be there's a cold front forming, right? A cold front, which means most of the energy will shift if that happens. But it's only going to shift a short ways. Just a short ways. Somebody says, let me get back here. Somebody says, will anyone be able to go inside the COT building? Will there be a number or way to contact someone? Actually, the COT building is going to be quite public, right? We just have to get ready for that. When I say public, I mean public. You guys be the first to know. Well, actually, the admins in here will be the first to know because they have work to do in there. But it'll be public, which means security is going to be a big issue. Now, in the beginnings, it's not going to be open every day. And the reason why we're not going to open that every day, that's for security reasons. You have people out there, they need to get whatever out of their systems, okay? And then we'll go from there. As we continue and build relationships, right, locally as an operational entity in that area, things will be a bit easier. But we live in a climate. We live in a climate where Christians are going to be blamed. They're going to be blamed. And COT, the Council of Time is not something you can just instantly affiliate with Christianity, right? Not instantly. By way of the iconography on the homepage or something like that, maybe yes. But not instantly, you wouldn't do that. So we'll probably have more time than most. That's up to our Father. We're just going to do according to his word, right? His word says, be holy in all manner of communication. It even gives us instruction on our conduct when we are dealing with people in the public, so on and so forth, okay? Everybody can enter. Somebody says, will I be allowed to enter? Everybody will be allowed to enter. It's not going to be a conventional. Listen, here's what I'm not. Let me go ahead and tell you what I'm not so that nobody gets... I'm very different. Here's what that means. If I'm not one to shun people away, I don't do that. I don't evaluate people based on how they look or smell. I don't do that either, right? I try to remain sober in all things. And what that means is you don't allow people to take advantage of certain things, right? But people are the priority. People, they are the reason for everything we do. People are. So there's no, you know, I'm not one to shun people. I'm just not one to do that. I'm not one to evaluate people, have cliques and groups and all this, that, and the other. I don't do that, right? I love the Word of God. I do. So you know what that means? That means we have to do it by the instruction of Christ, not by the rudiments of mankind. We already know that people, some people are, they're going to try and do some pretty bad things. Right? Do we get threats? Yes. Yes. Some people, they don't even know what the building is and a threat came through. Are you kidding? But that's just the way they are. Okay. A lot of people speculate. A lot of people are going to have to get some things out of their systems. They are. Some people are going to come purely for curiosity, right? Some people are going to try and call some controversial thing. It's okay. We'll get through all that, right? We'll get through all that. But the main reason for that place is for people, and the people are you. And the Bible, it says, charity starts at home. So here's what that means. You guys are first. You know that, don't you? People who are right here in COT, you guys are first. And then we expand out from there. If we cannot take care of this immediate family, what good is anything else? What good is anything else? Somebody says, is it too late to be an admin? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. As I said before, I'm still putting things in place, right? I've got some trays, digital trays, so to speak, with some forms for administrative works and programs and things like that. One of our big holdups was bandwidth, right? One of the biggest deals was this, guys. It was this. It was when remember we test launched the mobile site components and things, and I was just watching the bandwidth, and it just catapulted into areas we couldn't handle, and it began to interrupt our chat operations. So in other words, you have other churches like this. There's a precious group of churches overseas, right? They're very precious. Each one has about 5,000 or 6,000 people that sit there and listen. They listen to COT in their church once a week. Can you believe that? But once a week they do that. They also utilize their chat rooms to communicate, right? Because some people in their churches will be at home, this, that, and the other. And so they decorated their chat rooms and put their colors together for their churches. As we launched that mobile site, it began to take away from the bandwidth they were using. And it started shutting chat rooms down because it couldn't handle the traffic. It just couldn't handle the traffic. It is when you're dealing with chat rooms, right? Chat rooms are, they're more of a cost center than anything else, which means they always cost money. They're never going to make money, right? Which is why Google and all these different places, they always have some advertising that goes with their chat rooms. Well, we don't want to advertise, right? We're not going to have some program like that linked into somebody else. We can't do that. We have to stay free of the corporate world, okay? We have to make sure that we do things spiritually whole. It has to be a wholeness there. It has to be a cleanness there, right? And so there's a certain way I do things. It's very slow, right? It's very slow the way I do it because it's not like everybody else does it. It's just not that way. And there's a reason we do that. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, if I were to ever compromise, I'd have nothing else to say to you guys. I would have no spiritual insights. I would be dead inside. And I'm not willing to do that. Right? I have to drink from a fresh well. I do. So I'm not going to compromise. I've noticed in my own life, the slightest of compromises has always drained me. Of spiritual insights, spiritual motivations. It really has. So I can't do that. I can't. Is there anything wrong with that? No, it isn't. There's nothing wrong with that, right? There's nothing wrong with anybody who would ever have an affiliate program on their site. There's nothing wrong with that. I just can't do it. I can't do it. The Lord tells me no, so I can't do it. I have to stay separate from quite a few things. There are certain things I cannot entertain. I can't be a part of certain things because the Lord tells me no. Simple as that, right? There we are. That's me. You wouldn't want to be me, but I'm perfectly fine being me. I am perfectly fine. But the Lord has called me a certain way. And I have something I have to do, right? I can't compromise that. And I do believe in what the Lord has given me. So, right? It's a peace. I'm not willing to trade for anything else. There's no chaos in my life. Can you guys believe that? There's no chaos in my life. None. Zip zero. It's almost like a utopia. It is. But within Christ, right? There's no joy for me outside of Christ. No joy. None. Anyway, there we are. Someone said they were getting an error code 43 at COT. That's external coming into COT. COT is very straightforward, right? So if you have any AdTags connected to your devices, they will often do that to find out where you're going. It's not letting them in. So you're going to have some weird issues going on with that. You know how most people have, they have, well, here's what's funny, right? You guys know about HTTPS, right? Right? All these secured websites. Why are they the ones hacked? Anybody answer that? All these people, they go to HTTPS, right? They're you know, the secure sockets layers. But they're the ones who are targeted. When people come here to this site, they see nothing worth taking. It's so funny. Nothing worth taking. Never hacked. All the people who run the masterful security, for you guys, right, they get hacked a lot. And then every single day in COT, you guys have systems. You may not know about this, but you guys have systems. And your systems have these, let's call them little entities attached to them that try to enter COT through different ports. Somebody came through the other day. They were just loaded with port sniffers. And it did them no good, right? They get a little irritated with that. Because I'm not willing to compromise your personal data. There are some people have personal data in COT, right? Personal data. I'm not going to compromise that. So if anybody ever hacks COT, they'll never reach the database. The database spans multiple servers. There's a master server which has the key. All the data is broken up. It's like taking a piece of paper and you rip that piece of paper up in 20 million pieces and you throw it up in the air and it all lands in different places. If somebody ever gets a hold of your data, they're going to get a tiny little piece. They're going to get 1/2 millionth of a piece of something, of your something, which could be, right, the dot of the corner of a dot of a dot of a character of the shadow of the dot of the character that was before that. That's it. They can't put anything together. They have no assembly app that will do that. It is junk. It's just junk. I tried to bust it. I've had other people try to bust it. They can't do it because we're spanned over multiple servers. And you know, it's just a waste of time. I do that because I don't ever want you guys. I don't want these third parties coming in snooping your data. I don't want that. I don't want that. Even though there's no, you know, some people don't have any pertinent data there, but you do have, some of you guys have stories, right? Some of you guys have, there'll be links, you know, your account page is about to grow. Once we get our speed increased, we'll be able to do a lot more. We'll be able to handle a lot more. So that means more services for you guys, right? Also, COT has to be transportable. It has to be able to be broken down, moved, set up within about, I gave it about 30 minutes and set up somewhere else. So it has to be so compact that you can literally take it, pack it up, move it, and set up somewhere else and go fully operational, right? It's slow, yes. A lot of it trial and error, but I don't know the time. Listen, we're facing a time where floods are coming in, right? I'm coming on today to warn you guys about the floods, but to keep you mindful about your Father and His promises towards you and your life. The water's coming. Somebody was just talking about the cicadas. More and more people are talking about the cicadas. Isn't it funny how the cicadas pop out and so does the water? Here comes the water. But I need to clarify something with you guys who heard that dream. Listen to me, please. When the bugs, flying insects, were all over the place, when they came out in that dream, the very next day, listen to me, the very next day, without warning. The very next day, water was everywhere. That's what I call the water event. See, at first there was no water. There was no water anywhere, right? Water was in the ocean. Water was in lakes. Water was in ponds and things like that. Well, I went to this place I now identify as the Ukraine. And it was a specific street in the Ukraine that was set up a specific way. I thought it was a junkyard. We recorded that here at COT. Somebody has a recording. A Flash has a recording, no doubt. Somebody has a recording. I thought it was a junkyard. But it was in Texas, right? It was in Texas. And it was winter. Listen to me. It was winter, too. And when the winter broke, something happened where bugs, flying insects, one evening started flying all over the place. And after the flying insects came, I thought that dream was over. But it wasn't. So it got real quiet. I go out the front door of this place that I had issues in. And water was everywhere. But imagine you coming out your front door. And you look, you're looking, and your front yard looks like somebody put a big sheet of glass down. And it's perfectly reflecting the sky. That's what I saw. And then I looked and I said, wait a minute, that's water. And the water was only about up to your ankle. That's it. But it was everywhere. The water was up to your, it was up to my ankles in this dream. I think it was up to my ankles in this place, but it was everywhere. Can you imagine that? So not a destructive force that would destroy the earth by a flood. No, a water event where everything, right, goes without a tsunami, without any of those conventional things that we're so used to. Water was everywhere, everywhere. In that dream, I had a warning internally. And that was the warning. One of the telltale signs were that the insects that were in the ground would emerge and take flight. And they were everywhere. And it would happen after the break of winter. Consequently, folks, listen, this is why when you have a dream, never change anything in the dreams that you have that cause you to think, or maybe you think the Lord gave you a dream. Don't change anything, no matter how crazy it seems, no matter how kooky or misaligned it may seem. Don't change anything about the dream. If the Lord gave you a dream, I'm telling you right now, if he gave you a dream, it's full of meaning. Don't ever change it. You know how when you're telling somebody else a story, you may say, you may try to make a part make sense. Don't do that. Just if you must, say it exactly as you saw it also, right? Don't get up and just ponder it. Record it. Record the dream. Because over time, you may still remember that dream, but you're guaranteed to forget tiny little details. And it's in those tiny, you need all of it for the Lord's communication. All of it becomes relevant. All of it does. Okay, remember that. Write it down. I mean, as it's fresh, write that thing down. You don't have to share it with everybody. If it's from the Lord, it's going to mean something. Right? It's going to mean something. And you will not be able to toss it away, throw it away, sweep it under the carpets. You will, it's going to mean something. Okay? It's going to have meaning to it. Sometimes it can be a bit scary. You have to really validate who gave you what. I remember, I don't have foolish dreams anymore, but the last foolish dream I had was, it was terrible. It's one of those scary dreams. But in this dream, I stopped running. And when I stopped running, I never had a scary dream ever again in life. That's something. So, keep those things, man. Keep them. KJ Fordham says, I still share my dreams. That's good. It's good to share dreams, right? It's good to share them. Listen, the Lord speaks in many different ways. And I know just based on my personal experience with what the Lord has given me, he has prepared me for all things in my life by way of dreams. Yes, he really did that. Someone said, Brother Mike, is it because the ground is heating up for the cicadas? Well, some of the cicadas were supposed to emerge at this point, but I found some contradicting data. I did. I found some contradictions in those claims. Just saying that. I would say that everything in the ground is naturally going to start to migrate because of heat, because of moisture changes, because of dryness, you know, this and the other. That's what I would say. Right? For example, I think Angela Angela remembers this one, but I don't know if I told you guys. Yeah, I did. I told you guys because 37 is like an elephant. This guy does not forget, and he certainly does not like nonsense, but there was one dream where the East Coast was evacuated. It was evacuated. You guys, the animal started migrating from, it looked like north. No, I got the direction now. It was southwest. And they were running towards the northeast. The animals were. They were running from the southwest to the northeast. The animals were. We're talking about rodents like rats and mice and all those little tiny rodents. They were migrating. How do I know they were migrating? Because I walked out to this playground I'd never been to before in my life. And this is why I can never forget this dream. And I had this dream a long time ago, but I'd never been to this playground in my life. Never. I didn't even know where it was. And I was standing there next to a swing set with mulch in the center of it. And all of a sudden, I look up and these rodents are running over this hill. And they're coming towards me. Right? So that got my attention. A bunch of rats and mice and everything. They were running towards me, but they were actually running to the northeast. And we're getting away. Right after they ran, we're getting away. I looked to the northeast. And these people in white uniforms, white hazmat uniforms, with these devices, with a long straw-type thing sticking out the tip, they started coming through these woods. I'd never seen them before because that's not what the hazmat suits were back then. I didn't know what they had in their hand. There were similar devices, but not like that. Not like that. The place I was at, right? I could see the people around. I could see the cars they were driving. They began to pack. I saw people in neighborhoods in a rush packing things in their cars. They were loading their cars up. And then I turned and looked in the other direction and they were loading their cars up. And everybody was loading their cars up. There was a mandatory evacuation of the East Coast. When people left the East Coast, I could see them traveling, and they were traveling near a place where you have to pass through the arches or the place with the arches. That place becomes very important. The East Coast, though, I was standing on the sidewalk as folks were evacuating and leaving and this, that, and the other. Now, I can't tell if this part was intermingled with it or not, but I was looking down at the sidewalk. And I saw this little tiny trickle of water. That trickle of water coming down between the sidewalk and the street got bigger and bigger. Before I knew it was a lot of water. And then I looked up and I saw the sky in this very strange orientation, right? Below seemed to be a light colored cloud that went from mid sky to the ground. And above was a dark colored cloud that went from, you know, midway up. I thought it was a cloud. It was something else. That was water. The water on the sidewalk that was trickling down began to build up. Do you guys remember when most of you had tsunami dreams? Before they started talking about tsunamis? Do you guys remember that? Many of you have had dreams about tsunamis. Before they were ever talking about tsunamis. So it wasn't from somebody's conversation. All of a sudden, people all around the globe began to have dreams about tsunamis. If we know anything about our Father, is that He does give ample warning long before something happens, doesn't He? He gives, you know, it's years. He gives a person years to settle some things within their hearts before things take effect, doesn't it? And here we are. most of you guys have these dreams, just like Noah did, just like back in the time of Noah. Do you guys know that in that generation, they had dreams too about the flood? You guys had dreams about tsunamis. And let's go ahead and face it. The last 20 years has been weird. Let's go ahead and face it. Many of you guys have lived through letdowns of prophecy, correct? You've been let down through prophecy. And what I mean by that is many of you were following these things that were supposed to take place and they never took place. And it upset many of you. It did. Because you got your hopes up, right? You did. You got your hopes up. You know what the Lord did? Did anybody ever question why? Why they would be so ready to believe in these prophecies and then none of them come to pass and then everybody's experiencing this big letdown? Specifically in 2012, many people were let down. I remember after 2012, no one wanted to discuss prophecy. And it did alter. It altered the way that you heard preachers and ministers, didn't it? You can tell the truth now. No secrets here in this house. It altered the way that you listened to ministers. There were certain things you didn't want to hear anymore. Do you guys remember that? Do you remember when you did not want to hear somebody prophesy about the end of the earth? Do you know what the Lord did? Because you're different now. See, right now, when somebody starts talking about the end, before you believed it with an excitement and a feeling in you, you couldn't explain. You guys remember that feeling? It was a euphoric feeling. Do you guys remember that? It was this exciting, euphoric feeling that made you feel good inside, thinking about the end of times. Do you guys remember that? People got excited about it. People invested lots of money in it, didn't they? Lots of moolah, right? It didn't happen. That was when Obama was in office. I remember the prophecies and people said, Obama's not going to have a second term. They said, the Lord showed me Obama's not going to have a second term. Lots of people said that. And Obama had a second term. Remember that? I remember people's, that their faces, their hopes were dashed. I remember families breaking up over the reelection of President Obama. I remember that. Somebody says he is a third wind Biden. Hey, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I believe that God appoints kings. I play no favorites with people. If it's one thing about me, I can never say that God appointed one king but didn't appoint the others. No, nope, God appoints kings. God did exactly what he said he would do with Obama, with Clinton, with Trump, and with Biden. God did exactly what he said he would do. It's in the Bible. You guys know that? Would you be shocked to know that the people we have had as presidents has been outlined in the Word of God of exactly, God told us exactly what he would do. Now, a king of a nation is appointed leader of that nation because of the people. This is where you think soberly. You ready? No president has power. Do you know that? No president has power. They really don't. Come on, stay with me. Not one president has power. Guess what? You know who has the power? You do. You do. And when somebody speaks for you, and you don't say anything, you're complicit and in agreement with what they just spoke. all people have to do in this country, especially in this country, is when somebody speaks something, a president, and they don't agree with it, you might want to speak up and say, no, I do not agree. You guys can write to the White House. But how many of you guys in COT right here that I can see, how many of you have ever written into the White House, truthfully? How many? Type a 1 if you've ever written into the White House. And don't be sad. If you didn't write into the White House, no big deal. Don't be sad about that. You know. But let's get a real number here. Let's get a real number. Somebody said, call. We got some 1s and we got some 2s. Now, let me ask you this. Have you called within the last 2 months? All the people who call the White House, how many have called? How many have contacted the White House about your concerns in the last 2 months? In the last 2 months. And the reason why I say the last 2 months is because the last 2 months, everything has been happening in the last 2 months. If anybody was going to write into the White House in the last 2 months, that would be the opportune time. Right? So what point am I making? We have a heart for things. But sometimes the position of others is not quite clear. Right? It's just not clear. Sometimes we get so disgusted. We say, what's the use? Most often, you think you're just one person and you cannot make a difference. Have you ever collectively tried to see if you make a difference? Have you guys ever collectively, by the word of God, gotten together to see if you're going to make a difference? Here's what I mean, because there's a group. Some of you guys know what it is, called the Men of Standard, and it's been around for a while, but I'll tell you what we do. We try everything we do, and what I mean by that is this, because we're going to extend that out in real time, especially at the COT physical location. We're going to have some people there too. But what we do is we will have a request. All of us make ourselves acquainted with a request and we pray about it. We pray about that request and we follow up with that request. We look for it. We get in line with it. I'll tell you something. When you believe in the Lord and you get together in prayer, and you're sober, right? Because a lot of people get together and have meetings on a business for different things they have to track, but they won't do it with prayer. We got to do prayer sometimes haphazardly. This group of men, we get together, and when we pray, it's documented. We expect it because we're all believers. And the Lord said what he said. And he speaks truth. He's there when there are more than two or three people there. He's right there in the midst of you. Especially when you gather together in his name for his cause, his purpose. We never pray for what we want the outcome to be. We don't do that. Because all of us acknowledge that we do not have God's mind. That we would actually pray for our results to happen in Washington or in this country. That'd be no different than those who are trying to run it by way of agendas. They think they're right about what they're doing. Well, if you pray and you want your outcome in something, you think you're right about the outcome, and you're asking God to make your will be the happening of the land, we can't do that. We acknowledge we're human beings. We acknowledge we're children. We acknowledge we don't have the answer. So then when we pray, when we petition, we acknowledge those grievances we have deep inside. We document that. We pray together about that. And we look for the outcome. There have never, ever been shortcomings. When you start to do that, for example, let me give you guys an example. If a person says, if they get together and pray because they're concerned about the direction this country is going, right? The first thing you establish is, who knows what the best direction is? What would you actually pray for? Because if you say, Lord, we need a different leader, that may not be the element that fixes the issue. Do you guys see that? Do you see that logic? If you say, well, Lord, we need a brand new this, that may not be the part that fixes the broken machine. Right? Do you guys see where I'm going with this? So the first thing is never assume in a group that you have the right answer for everybody. But begin to realize the truth. And the truth is, we don't know what will fix the situation. We all suspect something, but we do not know what will fix the situation. Once you concede to that, now you're moving. See, now you're doing something. Now you're praying to the Lord, right? If I pray to Christ to make my will be done in the earth, how can he be my Lord? Wouldn't he be more of a servant? Come on now, just stay with me. I know it's a toe stomper, but wouldn't he be more of a servant when we keep asking the Lord to do what we want? He's not a butler. He's not Benson. Right? He's not a genie in a bottle that responds to our every beck and call. He's not going to make our will happen in the earth. But listen, isn't that what people want? That's the nature of their prayers. That's how they pray. Lord, do this, and Lord, do that, and Lord, do this, and Lord, do that. If somebody ever called you, and every time they called you, they said, hey, Jules, do this. Hey, Angel, do that. Hey, Sion, do that. Hey, Leslie, do that. Lou, just do this. If you kept getting those requests, you'd stomp on your phone. If every time you got a call from somebody, they wanted you to make their dreams come true. If they kept doing that, you would say, wow, nobody calls me unless they want me to make their dreams come true. They just want to use me like a machine so they can get what they want. That's what you would think. See, some of you have had relationships to give you insight into this. Some people say, well, I'm in a bad relationship. Listen, folks, have you ever considered? You guys who are in bad relationships, you have no idea what you have. What you have is a blessing beyond all blessings that nobody else has. Do you know why? You have a direct comparison to what people are doing to Christ right now. You know that other person? When they need something from you, that's when they're nice. But when they need nothing from you, they sever themselves from you. When you're in a situation like that, you can actually step in, be a recipient. A real recipient of what it's all about, of what that situation is about. And once you're a real recipient, now you actually relate to it. And once you actually relate to it, that's when a change comes internally. A change will not come so long as something is external to you. Until you feel it, until you're immersed in it, until you really know it, you don't know the truth. Knowing the truth is just not seeing it. It's knowing it. Knowing is not just seeing. Knowing implies experience. And in order to have experience in something, you have to be in it. That means you have an opportunity for those who are in pain and suffering. And somebody asked me the other day, they said, somebody witnessed quite a few healings in my life, right? But I have a persistent issue. And they say, well, don't you want the Lord to take that away? I said, no, I do not. I don't. Why not? They said, that makes no sense. Because it reminds me of the suffering of the Lord for my stupidity and ignorance and foolishness. It reminds me of what the Lord tolerated willfully for the very one who did not acknowledge him. And that was me. I was the one that did not acknowledge him. I was the one that disassociated his sufferings from all of my doings. I was the one who knew better and did the wrong thing anyway. I'm the worst of all of you. When I get that reminder, you know what it does? It gives me great resolve. I don't sit up and debate about righteousness, because I have a reminder. That reminder is worth everything to me. Because sometimes I can take the sensations I feel, magnify them by an unreasonable number, and know that's what our Lord went through for people who would not love him. That gives me great motivation. That's why I have no enemies. People may call me an enemy, but I will never call them an enemy. Do you know that? I'm not against mankind. I am against those spirits that manipulate mankind. I'm not against mankind, though. I can love my enemy. Why? Because of the reminder of what Christ actually went through, what he actually did. That makes me a non-pious person, right? And of course, there's certain things I'll never step into. Anyway. You guys who are in these positions, you're not set up for failure. You're set up for insights. Insights that the only way you can ever have those insights is to be in a circumstance or a situation that is relatable to Christ somehow. See, you're going to be free. You guys who know that, you're going to be fully delivered. Well, those of you who can become like little children. But those who cannot become like little children, well, they're not going to step foot to the kingdom of God. Remember, they were asking Christ, who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest? Remember that? I have a cousin who's he's all right. He's amazing. But we had a discussion about that, right? People were asking Christ, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? He gave him an answer, all right. He said, right, unless you become like these little children, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. They didn't ask him that. They asked him, who's going to be the greatest? He ended up telling them, hey, you don't have to worry about who's going to be the greatest. Because if you can't become like one of these little children, you're not going to be in the kingdom. I mean, if that's not just cutting through all this red tape and getting to the core of the matter, I don't know what. And how do you become like a little child? Now, my cousin said this. He's the one that said it. He said he gave a scenario. And it was a very good one. It was a whole one. It reminded me of some of the stories the Lord gives me. Anyway, I can't say too much because I think he's going to put that in something. I'm not even sure. I just don't want to step on anybody's toes. Anyway, he gave an example and he demonstrated how willing kids are to forgive. Like they can fight one day, right? But the next day they've forgotten about the fight totally. And I've noticed that about children, because children can get in fights. The next day is as though they never fought. The people who keep the fight going are the parents. Not the child. The parents keep the fights going. Well, that little Jimmy hit my little Tommy in the head with a horseshoe. And so I don't want you talking to little Jimmy until I talk to his parents about this horseshoe issue, right? The parents have the issue. The kids, They realized they had an issue. But here's the deal. Kids are very forgiving, aren't they? When they get upset in the moment. When they get over that upsetness, they become best friends and they move on. They never resurrect the junk that we do. Have you noticed that? A child walks within an innocence that is absolute freedom. We're the dodos that mess it all up. You know what the Bible says? When you become a man, you put away childish things, right? But then Jesus turns around and says, lest you become like one of these little ones, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. So we have a context for what he's talking about. To put away childish things, right? Childish things is to simply mature and take on responsibilities in life. Is to not do the whining thing, but to do the responsible thing. Is not to point a finger all the time, but assume responsibility. Is to be that ambassador in that situation, right? But to become like a child again is to have surrendered that control we think a mature person must have. See, when you put away childish things, you take on lots of responsibilities. Thus, you end up controlling quite a few things, right? Now, when you have that control, you get used to these routines. And there are certain things you can't let out of your sight because you're a good steward over things. When it comes to humanity, though, we become poor stewards. We get caught up emotionally. We get very responsible with tangible things. But when it comes to another human being, we can't let go of these emotional issues that seem to get us every time. So you can be a mature person, an adult, tangibly. When it comes to other human beings, we always get caught up emotionally. We're not pointing fingers, getting angry. Do you know that the source of your anger, have you ever tried to find the source of your anger? You may find 100 things in your life and they will not be the source of your anger after you analyze it. See, at first you'll say, well, I'm probably angry because of that. And if you keep thinking, you'll say, no, it's not that. Must be this. And if you keep thinking, you'll say, no, it's not that either. Must be this. If you've never done that before, get ready. Get ready. Because if you start doing that, you're going to bring up a lot. And when you bring up a lot, you're going to come to a conclusion. You're going to say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. There is no one source that's valid for my anger. And then you'll say to yourself, what am I angry for? I did that one time. I did. I asked myself, I said, what am I angry for? Right? I had two buddies that fought. I hate conflict. I hate it with a passion. I do. I loathe it deeply. I can't stand it. I got upset. And then I kind of asked myself, what am I upset for? Well, you know, they're not getting along. The world is all broke down. I said, but why am I upset? Why did that get to me? I kept analyzing, like the Lord was talking to me or something, right? And I came back with another excuse. Well, because, you know, this is how it begins, and they shouldn't be doing this, but why are you upset? Surely nobody's going to get upset over a should be, right? Those are not valid reasons, because those things always happen. Why would that affect me, that it would deplete my life, take away? For me, why would that situation do that? How could two people fight? Listen to me. How could two people fight? And then I get upset because they fought. And then when somebody approaches me because I am upset, I won't operate within an atmosphere of love, which means I allow the same thing that caused them to fight to get me upset. That same thing is going to happen between me and somebody else, not by fighting. That tension won't start by fighting. It's going to start by, well, you know, I have no time to think about you right now. I'm really compromised and angry and upset and everything else, so I have no time for anybody else. So it just spreads this negativity all over the place. Then you think about it, why am I upset? Because when you're upset, you're going to allow the same imp that caused that situation to cause another situation through you. And then you'll upset somebody else, and it keeps going, keeps going, keeps going, keeps going. And when you think about it, you say, wait a minute. Why would I be upset? Because I don't think they should be fighting. Who am I? Why would I cut everybody out of my life? Because I'm upset that I am not getting my way between these two people. How do I know that that fight wouldn't help both of them? And it did. After they fought, they got much closer and never fought again. See, I didn't know anything. See how that works? See, I got upset over some good that was happening because I didn't like the process. I didn't understand what was happening. I couldn't see why it was happening. I got upset. And when I got upset, I was short with people. In truth, we get upset because we don't get what we want. Uh-oh. There it is. We agree to get upset because we do not get what we want. Think about it. Come on, somebody think about it. Think about why you're upset with something. Isn't it because you're not getting what you want? See, I didn't get what I wanted because I thought, you know, that relationship that these two folks had should not include fighting. I didn't get what I wanted. So I got upset, like throwing a tantrum. Uh-oh. Who's upset here today? Who's upset? Who's upset? Isn't it because you did not get what you want? You didn't get what you wanted. You didn't get the outcome you wanted. Uh-oh, we get a problem. We get a problem. You identify something like that in your life and you allow that to continue. Well, you've got to pay for that. That's on you. See how that works? Why would we ever get upset? Because we're not getting what we want. If you say, well, I'm upset because of this other person, but you're still not getting what you want. See, we have a vision of what we think another person should be like, and when they're not like that, we get upset. We get upset when we think a person's life should be easier, and it's not easy, and so we get upset because we're not getting what we want, and we're back to we're not getting what we want. Oops. Can somebody give me a valid reason? A valid reason, right, to be upset? That has nothing to do with selfishness. And if you do give one of those valid reasons, make it in, you know, 5 or 6 words or something like that. Too many words and it's, you know, no, you're reaching. Right? Somebody said there is none. Think about that. Now, let's pause right here real quick, can we? So you mean to tell me all this time, we have been getting upset because we have not been getting what we think we should get? Lord, forgive us. Is our anger justified? Would God ever justify anybody's anger because they did not get what they needed or wanted? Not needed, wanted. Would God justify or give you an excuse for that anger because you didn't get what you wanted? Or is that called throwing a tantrum? Somebody said, when you see child abused. Yeah, but here we go again. If I see a child abused, let me give you an example of something very real, right? Now, it's not to be complicit with it. This is for you to be sincere about everything. Being upset from a person abusing a child, who is that going to help? Who's it going to help? Come on, somebody. Who's it going to help? Somebody. Is that going to help the child? I used to have a problem seeing a woman abused or a child abused. I acted on that one time and lost control. I'll never do it again. And I hurt someone. I did. I lost absolute control. I'll never do it again. Never. When it happened, I had to live with that. Now, at first, I justified it. You know, that's what the person gets. That's exactly what they get, because that's exactly what I felt inside. That's exactly what they get. And the Lord stepped in. When he stepped in, he took me through a multitude of scriptures and circumstances, people's lives. He began to show me things. He opened up my eyes to quite a bit. And I saw somebody who was quite strong as a human being, beautiful human being. They were abused badly when they were young. That's why they were a beautiful human being. I met somebody else who was powerful with their resolve and their position with Christ, because they were abused when they were young. In fact, in my life, every time I meet a person of great strength, they all have the same story. They've been abused. Abused. The Lord opened my eyes. I used to hate abuse, right? Absolutely hate it. I hate it to this day. I don't like abuse. The Lord knows I still have a problem seeing people abused. He's very gracious. He's not put me in that position to see it. But what does it solve? For me to get upset and to lose my position, to begin to act against the Word of God, it sows no good thing. The Lord taught me from that time to be sober about everything. Very sober. And in being sober, right, even right now, I confess. You know when the Bible says confess your faults one to another? Anybody who knows me knows I have a problem with people abusing people, and I let people know that on purpose. See, if I'm ever in a position where I can be compromised by that, somebody else has to take up the slack. If they don't know I have a flaw in that area, they can't do anything to assist me. If they know I have a flaw in that area, they're going to keep me away from that particular incident, right? The Lord's the one that gave me a heart for those who are abused. And so guess what? That's why most of the people who listen to me have been abused. Because you hear something in me. It's not me. You're not hearing me. You're hearing something in me that's genuine. See, because all you who have been abused, you know what fakery is. The people in your lives that you know for a fact are fake, they don't even know you know. You know. You know who's putting on a show. You know. You know. And anybody who's ever been abused, when they hear me talk, they hear something else behind my voice. A passion. A genuineness of heart. You'll always be able to hear that. Always. It's security to a person who's been abused. Do you know why? Because an abused person has heard the spirit of abuse. So then anywhere that spirit of abuse goes, they can hear it. They know what it is. They can't even explain it, but they know exactly what it is. When they come across a person who has the total opposite thing in their voice, they can hear that too. It's a voice of comfort, a voice of reason, a voice that can assist, that can help. The Lord knows what he's doing, because all of you who have been abused are in fact just like me. You've been through a war. You have. You're stronger than you think. The Lord will end up using that because you have qualifications nobody else has. The world is empty of people that are gifted like that. So you've been in training for a while. You have. That's why it's important you don't go jumping back into the situation again. That's why you cannot think of moments of happiness and start chasing them again. You can't have your little side meetings and talk about love and how corrupted it is, right? No more of that. The Lord has been educating you guys big time. You have broken through so much. So much. Satan tried his best to make you believe that love was phony. He tried his best to try and make you commit suicide. He tried his best to turn you away from Christianity. He tried his best to make a father figure look like a flaw in your life. He tried his best to seal within you that you couldn't trust anybody, and that betrayal was coming from every vessel you would ever get close to. He tried his best to make you believe these things, but he lost. Oh, he lost that. He actually tried to make you believe all of those things, and he lost. Now, you've come of age. Now you can see children out there that what you went through has multiplied the earth at least 100-fold. And you've got some folks who are waiting on you. He failed big time, and you're impacting people. Every day you continue with the Lord. Do you know that? Every single day. You're making a difference, which is why you, of all people, had to be very careful. He also made you stubborn. But it's okay. He made me stubborn too. I'll never bend, fold, give up, do any of those things. Have you noticed? People have tried to get me to change the language, to alter my direction. It never worked. Never worked. Some of you guys are in here, you won't admit it, but you had daddy problems. Some of your dads were betrayed you big time. And you never received what you really needed. Many of you just needed for someone to say, job well done. You did. You never got it. It's okay. Because you found your real father. The father that will never fail you. Now you have an opportunity to seal a bond with the Most High that a person couldn't even dream of. Why? Because you're still tender in that area. It's still a soft point. You've ignored it for the most part. And God can fulfill it, and he will fulfill it. When you're made whole, Satan is really in trouble. He's lying to people about love and the nature of love itself. God will restore that message within you. And with your relationship sealed with the Most High through Christ. What you thought was once impossible will be your daily routine. Through you, many will overcome. The Lord knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. The Lord knows. He's raising David's. He is. But without the flaws. Shepherds who won't run. Ambassadors who will never lie. Because you're in the last generation. So you're not a mistake. You're not some outcast. It's not where you are. No. You're royalty. A direct threat to Satan's kingdom. That's what you are. Satan knows it too. He knows. He knows. There are so many situations where people have been betrayed internally like that. Broken. Right? Broken. Like a family breaking apart. When you, you know, when you're 18 or 16, you go off to do the important things in life and your family breaks apart and you find out you have no family. Those are attempts on your life by Satan himself, and they didn't work. Not for any of you. Right? Now, here's what Satan really hates. You ready? That you guys have these similar stories. Not everybody, but most of you have these similar stories. And guess what? Somehow, the Lord inspired a person and people to get this thing done. And now you've met each other. Now, isn't it funny how that the majority of you have been abused? You have abuse in your life. Isn't that funny? How that you guys were looking for L-O-V-E, being exercised. Isn't that funny? That is hilarious. That's funny. Now you're all in one place. You're in one place. People are coming here. They can't believe the chat room is the way it is. Do you guys want to hear something? No one can hardly believe the way the COT chat room is. They have never seen anything like it. They've never met anybody like you guys. But you guys were tired of the other chat rooms, of the boasting and of the pride, of the strife and the fighting. You were tired of that. Look what the Lord did. Isn't that amazing? The Lord did that. I remember Angela said, well, how are people going to find it? How are people going to find us? I said, don't worry. Don't worry. As we set this table, they'll come. They'll come. It's not meant for everybody to come. It's not. Those who find it have found it. It's just like when Jesus spoke. Jesus said, let those who have ears hear what the Spirit is saying. So what about those who don't have ears? Well, it's not for them to hear what the Spirit is saying. Now you understand that, right? In other words, for those who desire to hear, those are the ones who will hear. The ones that don't desire to hear. It's not for them. Not for them. One of the first lessons in COT that I was talking to people about, something that was, that a lot of people just didn't know. It was this. A lot of people were asking me, well, you know, you got to say this again to the people. I said, no, I don't. Well, you got to really explain this better. I said, no, I don't. Well, why not? I said, because those who have ears to hear have heard it. And those who don't, they can never hear it. Never. That's one of the first lessons we went over in the New Testament here in COT, was that for those who desire to hear, the Lord gives them ears to hear and you can speak to them. To those who have no desire to hear, it doesn't matter how many times you say it. They're going to disregard what you say, right? You don't have to repeat yourself over and over again, because that's not going to make a person all of a sudden adopt what you've been saying. No. When a person wants to change, they'll change. They will. But if a person does not want to change, you can talk until you have no oxygen left in your system. They're not going to listen to what you're talking about, right? And in these last days, it just so happens that a lot of people, the Lord told us, a lot of people, they have created unto themselves their own savior, their own narrative in the Bible, right? Somebody wrote me an email and said, Pastor Paul is collecting money. He's only concerned about money. And they were talking about what pastor is teaching people on, right? The Passover. Now, how foolish is that person? Isn't that foolish? Isn't that foolish? Because if the person can't hear, first of all, that person can't hear. That's why they have no understanding, right? They also likely, they don't want things to happen that way. They don't want things to happen for anybody, obviously, right? If he could really allow me to talk about it, but I just won't do it, I would disclose what COT needs point blank. I really would, if the Lord would allow me, right? If the Lord would allow me, I would cover much more about giving, the principles of giving. God doesn't need your money, but when you give, you surrender power in obedience with the Lord. And the Lord already has an umbrella of a blanket for anybody who would comply to that word of the heart. Listen to me, of the heart, of the heart. For anybody who's forced to do it, they're going to get nothing. Because it's just like they did nothing. When you do it of the heart, oh my goodness. Now you evoke the nod of the Most High. The Lord does not need money, right? He didn't need that, but he has principles. He has principles. And when principles are spoken by the Most High and you have a desire to comply with those principles, guess what? You get the results of those principles. Doesn't matter how old they are, you get the results of them. But listen to me, there's a qualification too, because how many people give to get? If you are giving to get, then what you're doing is playing. You're playing the numbers. That's not giving at all. If you have a strategy to give, to receive something else, right? God is not the stock market. But hear me on this. God loves a cheerful giver. So always understand why you're giving, who you're giving it to, right? And learn to give it when you do give. Nothing you do is going to return voided by way of that giving, because you align with the principle. Anytime you align yourself with the principles of the Most High, right? Then you get the results of the Most High. That's what you get. He'll do things on your behalf. But here's where you have to be careful. You ready? You guys have the ability to read, so there's no way in the world you should ever not go and study those areas of life that you're not well versed in. Correct? That's correct. So I'll say it again, though. You know, that's a severe blessing. That will cause a lot of healing. Right? Now, it's me. I'm different. Everybody knows I'm different. I don't talk about the money thing too much. We are going to go over the principles, because it's time for people to come back home. And Tatum, bless her heart, I told Tatum a long time ago, we would go over the seven tithes. We'd go over them. We would go over those things. Somebody says, do we have COT members who lost their homes in these storms? Well, there are people who lost their homes before the storm ever hit. You guys know that? We do have some people in COT who lost their homes prior to the storms. Soberly speaking, listen to me, you guys. Hear me well. The Lord said, we're always going to have the needful among us. Always. Right? The Lord also said that we are to take care. Charity starts at home. In COT's case, charity involves the people immediately here in COT. Right? That's where we start. If we go down that road again, because there was a time when I took care of, what was it? Almost 200 families. I think it was a little over 200 families. 200 families. Once you go down that road, you have to make sure that you follow up with those people to make sure that they are your brothers and sisters are encouraged. When a person loses their home, it is incredibly discouraging. Believe me, it's discouraging, right? When you lose things, period, it's very discouraging. Very discouraging. So once you go down that road of taking care of people, you have to make sure, you have to really ensure that, first of all, that you're a prayer warrior, that you know what you're getting into, because there will be people who take advantage of you. There will. You'll have to, it takes some legwork sometimes, right? But there's no greater reward than when you do all of what you can do to help someone. There's no greater reward than that. No greater reward. Those are areas that are somewhat active. And they're going to get worse, right? For example, the storm, the water's coming. It's coming. I would say before it's all said and done, at least 40% of you guys will be affected. It's at minimum. But those are things we're going to get to quickly. Somebody said the water, what about what happened in Dubai? Well, that's water too. It's going to start spreading all over the place. One thing about these events is that they trickle. They happen just like the flood rains. They start out small in one area. They continue to grow. They grow and grow and grow and grow. They do. Until they take over everything. Right? That's how the Lord has persistently done it, just like that. We're about to go through it, folks, and I want you guys to get ready for it, because you guys on the East Coast, you got a good 4 days to prep yourselves. Just 4 days. The temperatures tomorrow are going to light these storms up. They're going to be lit up. So then that current flow, what's happening in Texas right now going all the way up, is going to start drifting. And a reformation of these storms is going to take place again. So we're going to have these repeat patterns with these storms. And the water is going to be incredible. Now, here's what I wanted to tell you. I was tracking historically some things, right? Please hear me on this. I want you guys to understand this process. We're going to talk about this more, but I want you guys to understand this process. Do you not know that in a volcanic eruption, and I'm telling you this before the volcano erupts and does exactly what I'm saying, with a volcanic eruption, the effect of an eruption can reach all the way up into the ionosphere. I want you guys to know that. it reaches to the ionosphere. Do you guys hear me on this? That's way up there. When it hits the ionosphere, right? When it affects the ionosphere, what it does is it will start to, there's an effect that takes place. Clouds go away. It stops the formation of clouds. That means lots of blue skies, right? Sounds like a pretty good scenario. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. You ready? It stops the formation of clouds, but the waters from the oceans continue to evaporate going into the atmosphere. You following me, right? So now that will last for about, after the eruption, that will last for good, say it lasted 15 to 20 days. And we're talking about no clouds around the majority of the earth. Say that happened for 20 days. What would happen on the 20th day? When the cloud, here's what happens. Well, after that 20th day, clouds will start to come back because the effect will only last for about 20 days or so. But when the clouds come back, when they start coming back, all that moisture, all of the moisture, listen to me, all the moisture that was trapped in the atmosphere that nobody cared about, that nobody could really see, all of that built up in these clouds, and the clouds and the sheer water content in the clouds, once released, you're looking at 15 inches of rain in less than 1 hour. So you're talking about a level of storm that they don't have a name for. You're going to be witnesses of this. You guys remember in COT the AADL values that I had on a specific page, certain values. You guys remember the AADL value? You guys remember that? And every time that value would go up, we would have, you know, increased showers. But it was getting so bad, I said, I'm going to have to pull this because it's gone over the mark. And it's about to go up at least, you know, 10 or 20 fold. That AADL value is so high right now that in about, you know, here's what the sky has potential of doing. In less than 20 minutes, the water can release, or the sky can release enough water to flood any city on the face of the earth under about 2 feet of water. Right now, that potential exists because of this effect is cumulative, meaning where there's no clouds, you're going to have increased solar activity. And of course, that turns around and that means more problems for, when you have these one system. Starts to engage, you have other systems that are affected, and they end up turning into this cycle, this vicious cycle where things get worse and worse. So what I'm telling you is that we're reaching a point where water's going to do the unbelievable all over the planet. The first eruption that affected the ionosphere see it. Few days, couple days, it'll take place. The skies will begin to change. The heat factor is going to be different, but then the rains return, and Lord help all of us. Now, I'm trying to let you guys know this before it ever takes place. We're going to do our homework for the topology in certain areas that you guys are, so we can help in your preparations. Folks, that's one of the greatest, as one of the more notable problems that we have in the very near future that we're going to have to deal with. The Ring of Fire is overloaded right now. Overloaded. So it could be, it's, you know, it could be a series of them, because all of them are overloaded. They're trying to halt one right now. That's not going to work. We know the outcome of it, right? Well, we don't know it, but you'll certainly witness that. Somebody said they keep getting monster migraines. Does Angela's Ring of Fire ministry name from volcanoes? Well, I'll tell you what, Angela knew that we have a joint talk about a conversation we had concerning the Ring of Fire ministries and the Ring of Fire. And it's so funny, you know, how it happened. But folks, I wanted to bring your attention to that because we're so close to the water event, which also means, now, ironically, after all this water, after all the water is going to go away and it won't be back. That's going to be a not so good day. Well, you guys are in good hands. Hi, Robin says, take a break. Actually, we're going to end the broadcast because Pastor Paul is coming up. His Sunday Night Live is popping up, so I don't want to get in the way of that. Somebody says, what about if the anomaly is showing up in the ocean? Well, we have multiple issues coming, right? Now, listen, again. We're going to track all of this and more. What we're waiting on is our hookup, right? We can't have too much traffic on the site. It breaks all the chat rooms. So, but I'm going to be working quite a bit once we get our BAM with reestablished. It's going to be great. Now, let's be frank. The bandwidth will be reestablished. Everybody's going to see it's great to have the bandwidth, no more errors and problems and this, that, and the other, right? But folks, please have an understanding that nothing is guaranteed in this world, right? So we kind of take it as we get it. And we'll do everything we can while we can do it. All we can do it, we'll do it. Because I'm still contacting your local municipalities. Many of you don't know your escape route yet for the town you live in. You have to know that. The fires are coming. The floods are coming. More specifically, though, the floods are coming. Somebody says this, Mike, how accurate is a future U.S. Navy map? That's printed based upon science, right? That's based upon science. Without the shift in this continent, the USA has a breakpoint that they've discovered a couple of years back. The breakpoint can alter everything. Okay, folks. I'm going to let you guys go. I want you guys to stay vigilant. Please stay vigilant. Now, I may be back on here shortly. Okay, we're by no means done yet. We're tracking these storms in the central USA. They are moving. And active hailstorms are starting. And the updrafts are about to become, they're going to be ridiculous tomorrow. I certainly am praying for those people in these areas. I am. Somebody says it's the, yes, it is. Is that breakpoint on the Bagley webinar earthquake fault map? Well, on mine, yes. Hopefully you save those graphics. They're going to be quite revealing. Now, I'm not bragging or saying I'm right. I'm just saying they're going to be quite revealing. Okay. The Lord has put some pretty decent folks out there. It's amazing who the Lord puts out there with this information. There's some impressive folks out there. There really are. But folks, you know what? While you can get this information, right, before it's sanitized, just be thankful for what is provided and get what you can get so that you have your own library. Folks. See you guys here shortly. Oh, and 37, we have to set something up. I'm hoping this week we can set that up and move forward. I'm hoping. That's my hope. I got to keep you guys in the know with the, the stuff that nobody believes and tell it it's relevant. Unfortunately, that's new information is foolishness until it's not, right? This new information is like that. Folks, we'll say God bless each of you. I'll see you guys next time, which for some of you might be in a few hours, okay? God bless, keep all of you. I'm going to see you guys next time right here at COT.